Hope the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26. It's myself, Mamuzi, alongside me as always, the legendary coach, Mr. Brendan Sir. Coach, All-Star Weekend in the books. How you feeling?
I'll tell you what, I wish I'd gone to LA. Not really, but I make believe I did because the game was worthy of it. Unfortunately, the fans didn't arrive and come to the game. But
I was going to say, if you went to LA, there's plenty of seats. Plenty if you're willing seats. To pay $7,000, you would have got a ticket.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. But you know what? It was the players did themselves proud, and I'm happy for them. You know, that's what counts. And they did a great job. New format helped. As you and I have discussed before we did the show today, if the four world players had been healthy, from Shea to Giannis to Jokic and Luka, they would have won this thing.
Yeah, I agree. But we're going to talk about the whole weekend. It was an interesting weekend. There's no NBA on until Thursday, so until then, you guys can play some NBA 2K26, so make sure you get your copy from the link in our description, because that will give you your basketball fix. All-Star side on Friday. Did you see, Coach, the celebrity game?
I watched about as much as I can of it. I recruited I recruited Taco Fall to UCF, and so he's a friend, and I love him. He's one of the great ambassadors in the world. He's a brilliant kid. And so I watched a little bit, but after that it was over.
Well, yeah. I don't know how Taco Fall and Jeremy Lin qualify for the celebrity game as their NBA players.
I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. And it doesn't make it good because they're too good of players, you know.
Yeah. And then we had Shams hitting as many points as successful Giannis rumors. Zero.
Zero. And how about having Giannis as his coach? Great was that?
Yep.
I got really good players except for that stiff.
I loved it. The revenge for Giannis.
And he totally, what we found is Shams, he's not good under pressure, man. Giannis went in his face and he wilted. And so,
he ain't the same when you're not behind that computer screen.
Hide
Come on,
Shams,
you gotta live this life. You can't just be tweeting all day. Come on now. So that was funny. Then they had the Rising Stars game. What did you make of the Rising Stars?
I did not get to see it because it's on Peacock here, which I don't subscribe to. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, no, I'm not. There's just too many.
The Rising Stars was interesting.
Good players in the game.
You had Team Melo, Team T-Mac, Team Vince, and Team Austin Rivers. So, like, the NBC broadcasters all had their own teams.
All wearing ties.
Yeah. Dressed better than the NBA coaches, actually, dressed.
Yes.
I would much prefer it if they went back to rookie sophomores. I just think the concept of this tournament with the target score and so on and so forth, cool, whatever. But I prefer rookie sophomore game. I think that would have been more exciting to watch. And it's a huge shame, you know, Cooper Flagg, obviously injured, not playing. So that's kind of the star of the show, who's not there. But, you know, no major complaints other than the arena basically being empty for Rising Stars. It was interesting. I like rookie sophomore. I also liked when, because they originally did International versus USA in the Rising Stars game. That was when, what year was it? OG Anunoby was in his second year playing for the world team. So this was like 2018, maybe. That was the original World versus USA.
Mm.
I don't know if people knew
that.
Did
not know that.
Yeah. But yeah, I just prefer the one-off game rather than the
I agree with you. I'm big on that. I'm big on traditional things. Like, you know, what the two All-Star games I coached, which were absolutely incredible. The quality of play, how hard the guys played, but it was two teams, East versus West, and the players were kind of legendary. The coaching was subpar compared to the players, but it was was fascinating to watch. And the stadiums, Miami Arena, the greatest, maybe as good a team as I've ever coached in the world, the East All-Stars. And then in 88, I coached Michael Jordan at Chicago Stadium when he was MVP and had 42 points in an All-Star game with strep throat. the day after he won the dunk competition against Dominique Wilkins. It was something you weren't born, of course, but I'll tell you about it. Just you know, but it was something else.
You know, I just looked it up now. The World versus USA format actually started in 2015. They had it in 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. Wow. Well, they did it for a while, all the way up until 2022, when they introduced the tournament format. So that's pretty interesting.
Yes.
Probably because in 2021, the world team was absolutely awful. How about Teo Maledon and Michael Mulder representing the team world? So anyway, let's get to the main events of the weekend, shall we? So Saturday night, All-Star Saturday night, or as it's now known, All-Star Saturday afternoon, because NBC wanted to give the Winter Olympics a priority on a Saturday night on their coverage, despite the Winter Olympics being in Milan. So it's not like it's a live event that they have to stream at nighttime in the States. That was kind of a weird decision. I don't know what it says about the standing of the NBA if it's not getting priority over the Winter Olympics.
Well, it was big. NBC came to, met with last year's disastrous All-Star game. They met with him immediately after the game. And the head of NBC and Adam Silver and team, and they said we will re-envision what this will look like, and they put together the whole format of what they would do and how they would build it with a focus towards the 28 Olympics, which NBC also has in Los Angeles, and I tell you what, they were very creative and stuff like that, and so. You know, basically, you know, you have 24-hour programming with the Olympics, and you're doing them with, you know, from the West Coast to Italy, about a 9-hour time difference, right? And then in our country, you know, the people on the West Coast are going to the game. It's a 1 o'clock game out there, 2 o'clock game. So it's kind of amazing. I'm watching the game at 4 p.m. my time. You're watching it at 10 p.m. your time, I think, you know, or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. So the world is crazy. Thank God it wasn't in Australia or China. It'd be the next day.
I didn't realize that All-Star Saturday was also starting. I knew the Sunday game was starting earlier. I didn't realize that All-Star Saturday was starting earlier as well because I was at an event during the day. I was doing some stuff with Jordan Brand of Foot Locker. And, I get home about 10-ish. I make some dinner. I'm sitting down. I'm watching some Netflix. And all of a sudden, my group chat is popping off talking about the three-point contest. I said, whoa, what are you guys talking about? They go, bro, it's starting now. I said, what, 10 p.m.? So I turned it on at 10 p.m. And I think a lot of people, I don't think the messaging from the league was very good about when it was starting.
Probably not.
Most people were shocked that it actually started, right? So I tune in. And it's very interesting that they began with the three-point contest.
I think they always have, if I'm not mistaken.
No. They usually begin with the skills challenge.
Oh, okay.
They didn't have a skills challenge.
I thought you meant that versus slam dunk. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't have a skills contest this year.
Which is very good, I think. I'm glad.
No, I disagree.
No.
Should I tell you why I disagree? Like, the skills challenge has become a joke. Last year, Chris Paul and Wemby trying to cheat their way through, so on and so forth.
That's what I'm saying.
But do you remember when the skills challenge was like, do you remember the year they had like John Wall, Derrick Rose, Deron Williams, Steph Curry, like Chris Paul, every elite point guard in the league was doing the skills challenge. Yeah. That was amazing. Or even the year when they did big men versus non-big men. And then they had that. And I think Jason Tatum won with a buzzer beater that year. The skills challenge has been good. I don't know why they removed it. They replaced it with the Shooting Stars contest, which we'll talk about in a minute. But they began with the three-point contest, which arguably is the most exciting event of the evening, given the track history of the slam dunk contest. Terrific. So it should be last. So they began with that. And Damian Lillard, who we spoke about last week, on one Achilles, is taking part. Not only taking part, he wins it. How about that, coach? How about that?
Yeah, it's incredible. And you know, the guy doesn't play at all this year and he's in the contest, you know, and he actually went to the league and asked to be in it.
Mm-hmm. But it was an all-time choke from Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Because Devin Booker could have won and he missed like his last four shots in a row.
Yep. He missed every shot in the last rack. you know, shout out to Dame, you know, legendary stuff and all. And he still has his, what's the word? Confidence, so to speak.
Yeah.
Swagger. Man, yep. He was talking some stuff afterwards. He's not a humble dude. He knows he's the 3-time champ, and that's cool.
He was talking his stuff, and Steph Curry instantly threw his hat in the ring for next year.
He said he's already
planning on doing it again next year. So wow. Steph versus Dame, hopefully we get to see that next year. Do you know what made me laugh was I saw a clip from the tunnel after the 3-point contest where Giannis is with Dame. And obviously Giannis, who last week was in the news for investing in a gambling company, just moments after affecting the bets with his trade, will he, won't he trade, and had people gambling millions of pounds on whether he'll be traded. And Dame's first thing he says to Giannis, he said to Giannis, did you bet on it? And Giannis instantly tried to shut it down, saying, chill, chill, chill. And I thought that was hilarious from Dame.
That's pretty funny.
That was good. So, yeah, the 3-point contest was good. It was Con Knipple, Dame, and Devin Booker in the final. Devin Booker choked it away in the last minute. Con had a really good first round, couldn't get it done in the final round. And then Dame, obviously 3-time champion now. He knows what he's doing. He knows what it takes. One thing I don't like about a 3-point contest, and this is the old head in me, they have the extra 2 shots.
Yeah. You know,
the long-range balls, which obviously they just want to stick a sponsor logo on there. Cool. I don't like it. Like, because it's not aligned with the legendary, like, Larry Bird 3-point contest that we've seen in the history of the game. So there's no basis of comparison for the scoring for them.
Sure.
So I don't like that, but I understand, like, whatever brand, they used to have Sprite, I guess it's Ruffles or something now, wants to stick their logo in and have
State
the
Farm.
Ruffles.
Long, State Farm.
State Farm. Yeah, State Farm. I mean, who the hell is at home buying insurance because they saw it in a 3-point contest? If that's your decision-making process, you probably need that insurance, but... I mean, I get it. I get it.
How many people after the Kia MVP was awarded to Ant that went out and bought a Kia, right?
Well, this is the thing, right? Because for the next segment, the Shooting Stars contest, they parked a Kia on the court in some hideous orangey brown color. There was a giant Kia SUV parked on the court throughout the whole thing. And then they had the Shooting Stars, which historically has been a good contest. I believe Mr. Armstrong was in it 1 year. Where they bring a retired player and 2 current players. But then this year, they had a twist of a celebrity guest passing the basketballs. And I think one team had Drewski, the comedian, passing the basketballs. And he was trying to throw no-look passes. The balls were flying everywhere. So it just turned it into a joke, really. Yeah. So it wasn't... I was watching it like, what the hell am I watching? The Knicks team had Rick Brunson, the assistant coach, former NBA player, passing the balls to them. So they, of course, won because they're getting pinpoint accurate passes.
And Allen Houston, who's one of the greatest shooters in
players. And his shot is still money. Someone can give him a 10-day right now.
No, he's terrific. A dear friend. Yeah.
But this is the thing, right? That was a joke.
Yeah.
The Shooting Stars contest was a joke. And I get what the NBA is trying to do with their celebrity Drewski's in there trying to get clips for social media. I'm going to talk about that in a sec, because then we get onto the dunk contest, which is the worst dunk contest I've ever seen.
Ever.
That was a low of the lows.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Jace Richardson, who almost knocked himself out trying to do a dunk when he lands on the floor. You had Jackson Hayes, who for his first dunk just did a dunk. He just ran up and just dunked the ball. And
that he was
understand.
In the contest was an absolute joke.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Like, when they did those intro videos, they were like, legends are born in L.A. And I'm like, there's no way you're trying to hype up Jackson Hayes as a legend of L.A. What the hell are we doing here? So that was pathetic. And then you had Keshawn Johnson, who was, like, dancing his way in, and he kept lifting up his jersey. And I text my friends, I go, why the hell does this guy keep lifting up his jersey? Turns out he just signed a sponsorship deal with an underwear brand and he was trying to show off the sponsorship name on his boxer shorts. Because then the brand posted a video on their official Instagram account of someone recording their TV screen. Not like a real clip. There's like someone holding a camera up against TV to try and promote it. And I'm like, who the hell sits in these brand meetings? This is a joke. And then you had Carl Bryant, who's got crazy athleticism, who should have won, but in the final round ran out of time and ended up just doing a standard dunk to close out the contest and lose.
You know, the kid that won, he's on a 2-way contract with the Heat.
Yeah.
He's not even on the roster.
Yeah. I think it's a joke.
Yeah.
I put out some clips on social media from my conversation with Larry Nance at the start of the season, talking about the dunk contest. the dunk contests just don't work anymore. All the dunks have been done. Okay.
Yeah. And now, and the stars have performed.
But this is the thing, though. All the dunks have been done. Okay. Cool. Professional dunkers do better dunks than NBA players can do. Cool. The thing that would make it good is if you had the stars in the contest. Because even if the dunks aren't as crazy, if a star player is doing them, they become more crazy.
100%. Right?
So how do we get the stars into the dunk contest? That's the question, right? What's going to motivate them? Who's going to put up enough money to get them to do it? Or who's going to be the star? Like, I respected when Jaylen Brown did it a couple years ago, trying to bring stars back. He didn't put on a good performance because, well, it turns out that what he had planned was actually, it wasn't possible because he was doing something that integrated the LED core and so on and so forth, and it ended up not being possible, right? And then the guy who was supposed to pass him the ball for the dunk didn't show up, so he had to get Jason Tatum last minute to pass him the ball, and so his thing was a plan. But I respected that because at least he was trying to try and do it as a star and bring other stars back to the contest. And then last year, Ja Morant tweeted, like, he's going to do it next year because he saw Mac McClung, and Giannis said, if you do it, I'll do it, even though Giannis has done it before when he was young. But what is the way to get stars back? Because I don't think the dunk contest is dead, because I think if stars did it, even if the dunks aren't insanely brand new and crazy, it would still have a factor of like, wow, we've got Zion, we've got Ja Morant, we've got this guy, we've got that guy, all dunking. How can we get them back to doing it, Coach?
I'll tell you what. First of all, back in the day, when they first started with Michael and those guys, Dominique, you weren't allowed to have props, you know, guys jumping over cars and things like that. That's dangerous. It really is, you know. And we have so many darn injuries in this league right now. We can't afford one in a freaking dunk contest, okay?
Well, okay. You almost had one with Jace Richardson. Without
That's what I'm saying. There was no props this year. It makes no sense whatsoever. And there was no one in the building, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no atmosphere.
I think that when you're charging this much money, basically, yeah, it's not right. So anyway, that's their problem. They might have solved I'm not worried about the rest of their weekend. They got people there paying a lot of money to do that. I just don't like what they did. The three-point contest was the only thing worth a damn for me, other than the All-Star game, the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. Celebrity but, game, throw so, it away. Every rising.
So here's
star,
the thing, right? You know, before we talk about the game,
yeah,
a lot of fans have very strong opinions about All-Star Sunday night. And here's the thing I think people don't realize, right? If you're listening to the show, you're probably a very dedicated NBA fan. And, you know, Coach, you and I, we watch everything in the NBA, so on and so forth. All-Star Weekend is not for us. All-Star Weekend is what's called top of funnel, right? In marketing, top of funnel is to attract the general population into your business in order to profit from them, right? So top of funnel marketing, they have to put on something that a casual person who doesn't watch basketball can see and be so impressed that they start watching basketball, or at least start participating economically in the basketball infrastructure, in buying jerseys, shoes, so on and so forth, maybe go to a game. Right, cool. And that is why they throw the celebrity passes in the shooting stars. It's not because it's going to make shooting stars good, because they don't care about the basketball product, because basketball fans like us are going to watch the NBA regardless. They just hope that Drewski is going to do something funny enough to go viral on Instagram and TikTok so that they can collect their social media views and then go to their meeting and say, yes, All-Star Saturday Night got 10 billion views on social media. It doesn't matter if the views are good or bad. They just want the numbers, okay? I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it now. I'm just airing it out so everyone understands we're all on the same page. I feel I have a duty to our listeners here to tell them exactly how this business model works, right? So that's what confuses me so much about the dunk contest, because no one is posting the dunks from the dunk contest unless they're talking about how bad it was. So if this is your idea of top of funnel marketing, either hire professional dunkers to come and do some dunks that are crazy, that are going to get clicks, or get the stars to do the dunks. Because you're trying to make everything else go viral on social media. Why is the dunk contest neglected in the way of, you've got four guys in there who even some NBA fans wouldn't know those guys? As you said, Keyshawn Johnson, two-way contract. Jace Richardson barely plays. Carter Bryant gets occasional minutes off the bench for the Spurs. Jackson Hayes is only playing for the Lakers because DeAndre Ayton's been so bad. Okay? Why have we... And even if it's not star players, at least get guys that are going to leave an impression on the fans. Like when Nate Robinson wasn't a star in the NBA, but because of who he was and, you know, being a shorter guy doing a dunk contest, that was memorable. Or Gerald Green, who was a role player, but still did crazy dunks. Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine weren't superstars when they did it, but at least they brought something to the table that made it worth doing. These guys are like, all right, well, maybe if I do the dunk contest, I'll get more minutes or I'll get my contract solidified or something. But the dunks don't even have the creativity to make it worth doing. So I'm at this point where it's like, when you write your contracts for the NBA players, you should put a clause in the contract that if the NBA requests you to do something All-Star Weekend, if you're not injured, you have to do it. You're getting paid enough money. Zion Williamson, you're getting paid enough money. Ja Morant, you're getting paid enough money. You're going to do the dunk contest. What else are we paying you for? Because you barely play in the regular season anyway. That's what I would do. I'll put it in their contracts. I don't know if the Players Association will agree with it. The
Players Association would not agree to it, but I understand
they wouldn't agree with it.
No, they wouldn't, but I understand what you're trying to do.
But yeah. But do you get what I'm saying?
I'd rather have them play in regular season games, but you know.
Oh, 100%, but they ain't going to do that. So at least put on the show.
I mean, so you're worried about the dunk contest and regular season game?
And because I'm talking about from a marketing perspective, top of funnel, no casual fan is tuning in to Grizzlies Pelicans on a Wednesday night, but they are tuning in to All-Star Weekend, right? And then I, you know, speak to a lot of former players from around the league, and the overwhelming feeling I get from them is that when it came to things like All-Star Weekend, everyone in the league, from the stars all the way to the role players, had an overwhelming sense of responsibility to grow the game of basketball. They felt a responsibility to increase the popularity of the league. Therefore, they would go out and perform with maximum effort for things like the dunk contest because they wanted more eyes on the NBA because they knew the more popular it became, the more money they could make from it. We now live in a time where these guys have so much money, and I'm not saying that they got too much money. I'm happy for them. Go get your money. I'm happy for all of them. But they have enough money now that they don't need to focus on growing the game. And when you talk to former players, they talk about All-Star Weekend as being a huge part of their journey in that their first All-Star Weekend, they get to meet some of the older players from around the league. They learn how to become superstars. They learn the professionalism. They learn about all of these things. Now All-Star Weekend is simply, okay, our brand's doing these activations. You need to be at these activations because the brands are probably paying them more than the NBA contracts at this point. So you're going to come to this sneaker launch and you're going to come to this brand event and you're going to come to this live podcast, so on and so forth. And the players turn up and they collect their checks and then they go to the parties and then they're done. They don't have the same responsibility to say, you know what, guys, we're the stars of this league. We're going to go and do the dunk contest, put on a crazy show to make the NBA even more popular because the NBA has already reached a worldwide audience at this point. So that's kind of the sad part for me is they don't have that same ethos that the former players did when I talked to them about All-Star Weekend. And they said, yeah, we knew the bigger we made All-Star Weekend, the more people would become basketball fans.
That's a good take. That's a good take. And I, you know, from a business standpoint, from where you sit, I agree with that for you.
Yeah. And then we have the All-Star game, which to my surprise was actually fantastic. Sunday night or Sunday afternoon in LA, the new format, World versus USA Stars and USA Stripes, Stars being the younger guys, Stripes being the older guys. I think, I was saying to you, Coach, just before we start recording, the first possession of the game, Wembanyama is guarding Anthony Edwards. And it set the tone for the whole thing. They said, all right, we've come to compete. Like, they weren't going 100%, but they were going enough to know that they were actually competing rather than previous years where they were kind of walking up and down the court.
I thought it started really ironically on the jump ball when you had Anthony Edwards having to jump because they don't have a center on the other team against Wimby. And it looks like something you'd see in a youth elementary school basketball, with the tall kid in the class jumping against the normal size kid. And then all of a sudden, Wimby taps it forward and then sprints into the lane and then hits the guy guarding him, spins, catches, and dunks.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I said, oh, boy, because I think Jokic, they threw the ball ahead to Jokic. And normally, last year, Jokic would have shot a three and probably shot an air ball, okay? And that's how we would have started. Instead, we started with a power dunk inside, and then he came down and defended Ant. And then on the other end, makes a three. Mm-hmm. So here is Wimby, five, you know?
Yep.
And that's, I think, game on.
And a great game.
First, I call them games, but they were mini games of one quarter, of which I thought were the first three or four games were all like 2 and 3 point games.
Unbelievable how good those first three games were. The final game was obviously a blowout, right? Which was a shame, given how exciting the other games were. But
and I think that was because the older guys, the OGs, as they like to, they were exhausted because they played three of those quarters in a row. You know, and so and Kawhi Leonard, who was a replacement, had the greatest quarter in the history of the NBA, where he scored 31 points in an All-Star game quarter under pressure. Those shots he made were under pressure, and he left it out there, and it was great for to see. You know, got to see our guy Steve Ballmer go crazy over it, you know, and stuff in his building, which is a beautiful building where the Olympics will be in 28. So that was really great. Good for the fans and stuff like that. And Kawhi, kudos to him.
Yeah, you know, I love that Team World and Wembanyama came out and set a tone and then ended up losing all of their games. That was quite the shame.
It was.
You know, as you mentioned at the start of the show, if everyone was fully healthy with Shea and Giannis, I think it would have gone a little differently. But I can't fault any of the guys who were out there on the court trying to... I saw guys trying to save loose balls from going out of bounds. I saw defense. We saw good offense, not just heaving it from halfway. I was really happily impressed. However, here's my question to you, Coach. Because we saw this in 2020 when they introduced the new format back then with the ELAM ending. The players played hard in 2020, but by 2021, it was back to normal.
Yeah.
So my question is, next year, if they keep the format, because it worked, do you still think it will have the same intensity?
It's all player dependent. It depends on who's playing. And you know, if the players that are playing, I don't think we'll have LeBron there anymore. I think, you know, rising players come in. Cooper Flagg will be in the game next year. He'll bring intensity. So I think the players determine the way their behavior sets the culture. And so I think, you know, hopefully going forward, they learned a lesson. I think as long as Wimby is around, it's like MJ. As long as MJ was in that game, the game was serious. Because those guys, and you talked about what I thought was really a purposeful talk, when Magic and Isaiah and Bird and MJ were in those games, it was about growing the game. And I know it was a long time ago, but they showed up and, you know, and Kobe, big time. So I hopefully Wimby will carry that tradition.
Yeah, because I think Kobe being out there on the court, even up until his last one in 2016.
Sure.
He set the tone. And all it takes is one guy to set the tone. And everyone else has to follow. Because if one guy is out there going hard on the court, everyone else either has to get with the program or get on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for Wemby to be the guy who brings that back, kind of cements him as the future face of the league, I'm very much here for it.
I got to tell you a story. Oh, so I'm coaching... 88 All-Star game with Michael Jordan, as we talked about. And it's Mike Fratello, the czar, the telestrator, is the head coach, myself. And Doc Rivers is, you know, is in the game as a player for us with the Hawks. We had the best record in the East over Boston back then. Mm-hmm. And so we got Dominique Wilkins, we got Bird, we got a squad. And Fratello wants to win the game because the winning team, players and coaches, we get $5,000. I think now it's like $100,000 now per player and coach. Mm-hmm. So who's he not give minutes to? 48-minute game? Charles Barkley. And I'm in charge of the minutes, and I keep saying, Mike, you got to put Barkley in. Got to put Barkley in. You know, he's sitting over there. He wants to play. Put him in. No, we got to win this game. Barkley ends up playing some ungodly amount, like 9 minutes, 10 minutes. I don't know what it was, but it was awful. And after the game, he is pissed. So the game is on Sunday afternoon. Tuesday night in the Omni in Atlanta is Philadelphia versus the Hawks. Charles Barkley against us. Charles Barkley goes for 55 points. And as we're getting our ass kicked, I turned to him. I said, I'm really glad we won that All-Star game. And this is what's happening tonight because of that. Good job, buddy.
Yeah, so, that's hilarious. Well, you got to love chat. I'll tell you this one thing, though. I really miss, and don't get me wrong, I think NBC do a good job, but I really missed having TNT do the coverage, because with Shaq, Kenny, Chuck, and Ernie, even if the dunk contest was bad, even if All-Star Saturday Night was empty, even if the game on Sunday had been bad, at least you get some comedy and entertainment after the games are done. And they would have like an hour of programming after the games are done. Whereas now it was kind of just like, well, the game's done.
Yeah, it was over. Yeah.
Yeah.
You had to go to NBA TV, the association, they call it now, for the post game.
Yeah.
Which they had Adam Silver on as a guest, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But anyway, I tell you what, Reggie Miller is a solid broadcaster. Jamal Crawford's a star.
Jamal Crawford's fantastic.
He is really a star. I'm so proud of him. And he loves the game so much. And I'm just so happy. And he gave it that respect. And those two being stars, but Reggie really the all-star, man, they really talked about what it was like. So I thought that was good.
Coach, if you were in charge of All-Star Weekend for next year, is there anything you would change or add?
Oh, boy. I can't say because I still have business with the NBA, so I'm going to take the fifth on that one.
All right. I have some ideas.
You better go with it because I love the league. I love the game. There are a lot of changes I would make.
I have some ideas, right?
I'm not a consultant to the league. I do business with the league.
Yes. I have some ideas. Number one, we'll start with a celebrity game. Okay. I didn't know half those celebrities. And then you've got former NBA players, so on and so forth. Here's what I think we should do. Because we all know how great NBA 2K26 is, but 2K also make the WWE wrestling game. I would, instead of the celebrity game, have two teams of pro wrestlers playing basketball. Team Rock versus Team John Cena. And then everyone on the team doesn't have to be a wrestler, but you get those two guys as the captain, and they bring whoever they want, fellow celebrities, to play in the game. Because imagine seeing John Cena versus The Rock playing basketball. I think that would be unbelievable. Okay, That will fix the celebrity game, right? Rising Stars game, we're going to go back to rookie versus sophomore. Classic. Okay. And have them wearing their team jerseys so you get the nostalgia hit of the old days.
Got it.
All right? Because no one's going to the shops to buy a rookie or sophomore jersey anyway. I don't think I'll ever see a person in the wild wearing a Rising Stars jersey.
No, the All-Star jerseys look cool.
Yeah, the All-Star jerseys are cool. That's why I'm saying we'll bring back the old school.
I like that. I like that.
Yep. All-Star Saturday night, we bring back the skills contest and we invite all of the best, most skilled players in the league. Okay? We bring that back. And going on the wrestling theme, the winner gets the belt, right? You know how in wrestling you win a belt or in boxing you win a belt? And whoever has the belt has to compete the next year because it's going to become then a thing of, okay, I got to steal the belt from this guy because he says he's the most skilled player in the league, right? So we're going to do that. We're going to do the three-point contest. No issues there, okay? We're going to have the dunk contest. We're going to get, and here's how we're going to do the dunk contest. We're going to have Team Nike versus Team Adidas versus Team everyone else, right? And every brand has to put forward their best dunker. So Jordan Brand has to go to Zion Williamson, Nike have to go to Ja Morant, Adidas have to go to Anthony Edwards and say, our reputation is on the line, you're representing Team Adidas in the dunk contest.
That's a good idea.
Because what better way to sell shoes than have the best dunker wear your shoes?
And the league allows, even though they're all wearing Jordan Brand jerseys for the All-Star game, the league allows television commercials from all sneaker brands during the year. You know, as New Balance is one of the largest sponsors on TV.
Yep. They did a close-up shot of Kawhi's shoes during the game. So every brand is going to put forward their one nominee to represent them in
that's
the dunk
a
contest.
Great idea. That's Thank funnel you. Marketing, top of the funnel marketing. Thank I like you. That.
Yep. So. And then that's not the finale of the night.
Oh, no.
We then have the NBA one-on-one tournament because I know Jaylen Brown will sign up for that. I know that if Kyrie Irving signs up for that, everyone else is going to want to sign up for that. KD might sign up for that. Giannis will sign up for that. We're doing a one-on-one tournament. We're going to have it, and they're going to get the belt as well. Everyone gets the belt, and they hold on to the belt like the world wrestling, world boxing champion until they get knocked off. They own the belt, okay? Mm. Which retains excitement for the next year. Kyrie won the one-on-one tournament this year. Who can beat him next year? Cool. That's right. Saturday night. Done. Sunday night, I say we try this year, same format again, because it worked. Why rock the boat if it's working?
I agree.
The only thing I would do is I would make sure there are fans in the arena. I'll make sure that the arena is not half empty so that there's more of an atmosphere for it.
Did you see how they did the lighting on the thing? You could.
Oh, yeah. They hid the empty seats with the lights.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
I would also, though, for this one, would have some sort of delay between the semifinals and the final of the tournament so we don't get a blowout in the final game. There would need to be some sort of entertainment vehicle in between deciding who's in the final and the final game because it wasn't enough rest time for those guys before the final match.
I think that's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Adam Silver, if you're listening, you are very welcome. I look forward to these being implemented next year so that we can get back to making All-Star Weekend great again. Because here's the thing, Coach. As someone who... You know this, I've dedicated my life to this sport, right? Everything I do revolves around the NBA and basketball.
You sound like you're an old head. You're 32 years old for crying out loud.
I am. My hairline's starting to recede. I am an old head. And I'm 31. Thank you.
I was talking about next year's All-Star game. You're 32.
Okay. But here's the thing, right? As a kid, I grew up. All-Star weekend was the most exciting night of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Because Great I would night. Get to see all the best players, all playing in one place, all cool, crazy dunks, all the skills contests, all the three-point contests, so on and so forth, right? We need to get it back to that because, as I said on last week's show, the younger generation is not watching sports and consuming sports in the same way that my generation did and the generations that came before me. We got to do something before we end up with no one watching this. Mm. Because Adam Silver came out and said himself, it's a highlights league. People consume it through highlights. That is a very slippery slope to go down. And trust me, from someone who has a background in social media and the internet, that is not where you want your league to be as a business.
I totally agree.
So,
no,
that's how we fix All-Star Weekend.
Well, next year, when you and I will be together in Phoenix at the All-Star
Arizona.
Game. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And I think three times in a row on the West Coast, by the way.
It makes a break because they had Utah and Cleveland. It was horrible cities that had All-Star before.
Different cities. Don't say horrible. I mean,
for weather. I'm talking about weather.
You're talking about weather, my God. No, but I think it's a smart thing to do. And great cities, San Francisco, LA, and now Phoenix coming up. Terrific. And so I think it'll be a really big time atmosphere. The players love going to Phoenix. So I think it's going to be a good show. But I like your ideas. I would submit them to Mr. Mark Tatum, you know, who will pass them on to His Excellency. I would also ask for a finder's fee for those things. Those are excellent. Or to just join the NBA family like you should be in anyway. But I think those are great ideas.
Thank you, sir. They have my number. They have my email address. They can contact me anytime. I have plenty more good ideas as well that I've not even shared yet. So, you know.
You gave those for free today, though.
So I'm giving free
game. Thank God they're listeners of the program.
Yep. But I look forward to the rest of the season, though, Coach. I look forward. Now we get into the real nitty-gritty of playoff seeding and the real push.
We're going right to the playoffs right now. Now we're on a downhill trajectory, like the downhill alpine skiing at Cortina this week, I think in the Olympics. But I'll tell you what, I was going through the schedule over the weekend. I'm telling you, at the top of each conference, OKC, I'm a huge fan of, they better keep their damn eye on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they don't have
the All-Star break, it's going to help them.
If they don't have the top seed going in, they're vulnerable.
They're only 3 games above the Spurs right now.
I know. They're very vulnerable. And I think Mitch Johnson and staff over there and Wimby, even though they're very young guys, they are being educated on how important, by Pop and the boys, of how important mm-hmm. home court is. Mm-hmm. You want, if there's a game 7, you want it in your building.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
And I, that's why I think these last 25, 27 games are going to be incredible as far as the intensity that some of these games are played at by the top teams. And I love that. I don't care about these other teams, but you better not come in. If you're a top team, what you'll see happen, Mo, and when we review in April, you'll see that I can't believe that San Antonio or OKC or Boston or the Knicks or Cleveland or Detroit lost to one of those teams that they say are tanking. It happens every year down the stretch because they think it's a break in the game. Mm-hmm. And those guys, see, that, you know, all this.
We call it a trap game.
Yes. All this BS about tanking over the weekend. The people that aren't involved are the players.
Yep.
Players are not involved. So the players are playing. So if I'm out on that court, which I think you're going to see a lot of players, unless they're injured and out for the year, with, you know, so I think you're going to see those guys playing. And you know what? Some of them know they're not going to be back. They're going to play to almost spite their organization. I really mm-hmm. could care less if you get the first pick.
Yeah,
I could care less.
Like, so there was a thing that floated from Adam Silver's press conference that was removing the draft and making rookies free agents. Right,
disgraceful.
Worst idea I've ever heard in the world.
Disgraceful.
Because every single good rookie is going to go to New York or LA because the other brands will pay them more than an NBA contract can offer them.
And you say sneaker brands? Forget the sneaker brands. How about American Express?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Shea signed a deal with American Express. It's more than his Converse deal. Yep. Not even close.
Yep. All of these brands outside of the league will just pay money to get them in the big markets. And yeah, you know, the whole thing will be finished.
Apple?
Yep.
To iPhone?
And or you're not Amazon? Even thinking about the gambling companies as well.
Yeah. You know, I mean, so it can all happen. And I think, you know, that was a terrible idea to even let someone suggest that. And I know who's suggesting it. The teams that are at the top.
Yep.
That don't have picks and stuff like that. So, you know, the thing is the toothpaste is out of the tube. So if you traded Lakers, Milwaukee, others, your picks away for the next 3, 4, 5 years for the most part, hey, that's the cost of doing business.
Yep.
You know, Orlando. You know, you gave up 4 firsts to get Dane. Got it. Desmond Bane. Cool. That's fine. That was a business decision. You can't be rewarded now all of a sudden to say, hey, and who's on the Magic's jersey? Do you know?
Disney.
Yes. Who is ABC and ESPN?
Disney.
Yes. So we're going to let them now bid for free agents?
Yep.
That's what I'm saying.
This is the thing, right? Yeah. I don't think it's a perfect system, how the draft and everything works. I've looked at all of the suggestions people has, and not one of them is good. Not one of them is better than the current system. So we're just going to have to live with it. The race for the number one pick continues.
Mo, one last thing on that. You talked a lot today about purpose of playing in the All-Star game. The purpose of the draft was to bring balance to the league. That was the purpose of it. The systems that they had to get there, when I first joined the NBA, it was the two bottom teams. We flipped a coin to see who got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Magic Neil Walk. Or Neil Walk. That was
it. Yeah, that's crazy.
But I came in the league with Magic, okay?
Yeah, because even Magic Johnson was on the coin flip.
Yes, that's when I came in the league, Magic Bird. And so that was the way it was. Imperfect. But you know what? they had New Orleans pick. That's how they got the Lakers were a great team, but they had New Orleans Jazz pick.
Yep.
That's how they got it. Yep. So I think we have to really be careful.
It's not a perfect system, but it's better than any of the alternatives, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
But no, that was a fun episode, Coach. No basketball until Thursday. So we'll be back on Monday. We do have an episode on Thursday. I'm going to share my conversation with Mr. Joakim Noah.
Oh, man.
That'll be Thursday.
One of my favorite characters, personalities. Yep. Ever in the NBA. I've known him since he was a high school kid being recruited to the University of Florida. And so he is just an incredible kid. And what a dad he has, the great Yannick Noah. And mom, pretty good looking gal, boy. I'll tell you what. Miss Sweden, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Incredible. But that's why Joe's a pretty good looking guy, but he's a character.
I just got to make sure the files will work because we recorded this a while ago now. But no, Coach, I appreciate you. And then we'll be back on Monday once the games resume, chopping it up as usual.
All right. Thanks, my friend.
Appreciate you, my brother. Until next time, make sure you guys comment. What am I talking about? This ain't YouTube. Subscribe to the show. YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. Let us know. We're in the Discord or social media, whatever. Let me know what you think about All-Star Weekend.
And, what are we going to do till next week?
Get buckets.
Get buckets.
You know the vibes.